Now, the thought of losing your family in an instant seems unimaginable, but that is the grief a wife and mum from Barrow is living with. A repeat drink driver who killed her husband and two children and the family dog begins a prison sentence today. 47-year-old David Logan from Dalton in Furness was jailed for 10 years and 10 months. This was his sixth drink-related driving conviction. Well, BBC Radio Cumbria's Furness reporter Neil Smith is at the roadside in Dalton where the three members of the Flynn family were killed. Morning to you, Neil.
Good morning again, Mike. Yes, just looking across Abbey Road to the west of Dalton and up the hill towards Mill Brow, it was down that hill that David Logan's Peugeot 306 came before mounting the curb, crossing the pavement, and ended up embedded into a tree. But in that final bit of the journey, ploughing into Joshua Flynn, his son Kobe J, and daughter Skylar. Looking across there now, there are still some remains of tributes pinned to the tree in the base of another tree alongside, including a teddy bear and a piece of wood that spells out the name Skylar.
And at Preston Crown Court, Neil, there's a heartrending statement from one member of the Flynn household who wasn't there.
Yes, the one member, Emma Flynn, mum and wife. Her victim's impact statement was read out in court, Mike. In it, she said that she will never hear her children or her husband say, "I love you," ever again. She said she would do anything to bring them back into her life. She described that life as a constant battle and a reminder that they're not here anymore. In the statement, she said that she holds an uncontrollable amount of grief, knowing that she will never get to see her children grow up. And she concluded talking about the defendant, saying, "The moment he got behind the wheel of his car and killed my family was the minute my life stopped."
What was said in court, Neil, about how David Logan was at the time of the crash?
Well, at the scene, was just got the police car going out. At the scene, Logan was described as not being interested in the welfare of anyone else and showing no remorse or emotion for what had just happened. He was described as smelling of alcohol, stumbling, staggering and slurring his speech. Now, a calculation was done of his blood alcohol level that he had at the time of the accident, 141 milligrams of alcohol in 100 millilitres of blood at the time of the collision. Now, the legal limit is 80.
Other than the alcohol, was there any other explanation given for what happened?
Well, David Logan had told the police that he had been suffering coughing fits that caused him to black out and that had caused the crash. But the court was told that if he was coughing and losing consciousness, then he had a duty to act and shouldn't have chosen to drive in those circumstances at all. Police investigators had concluded that the cause of the crash was one or a combination of drink driving, of a lack of sleep on behalf of the defendant, or losing consciousness due to a coughing fit. The defence said Logan was also suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder after serving 5 years in the army.
What was said at sentencing, Neil?
Well, Mr Justice Hilliard said the defendant had proceeded as though the road traffic rules simply did not apply to him. Now, this was, as you said, Mike, his sixth drink-related driving conviction, multiple convictions for drink driving, for refusing a breath test and driving whilst disqualified. The most recent of those previous convictions only in 2018, 2 years before this crash. He was jailed for 10 years and 10 months and also banned from driving for 16 years.
Thank you, Neil. BBC Radio Cumbria's Neil Smith live in Dalton in Furness for us this morning. Well, let's bring in now John Screwy. He's from the national charity STAR, Support and Care After Road Death and Injury. Morning to you, John. Your charity helps people bereaved by deaths on the road, but even for people in your charity, the scale of bereavement here surely is extreme.
Yes, you're more than right. It is a very extreme case, and my heart and to everybody involved in STAR on death is serious for me.
How can someone who's been bereaved following a collision like this be helped? Because, road deaths, they're sudden, they're shocking, and I think I'm right in saying in all cases, they're totally unexpected.
Yeah, it's a sudden, traumatic, and hugely violent death, and very, very difficult for anybody to deal with. Scott was brought about in the late 80s as a result of a crash in Russia, where our founder lost his son in a crash with a victim group driver. We are a unique organisation amongst all the doctors, I thought, in that we've all been affected in one way or another. Everybody who works with Scott by a real death, be that as a bereaved parent, the legal side of things, or as myself, the next police officer. I've dealt with numerous fatalities on the roads over the 30 years I was in the police. It's one of the most difficult things I've ever gone through. Our organisation, we offer counselling, free to town office in Ossick in West Yorkshire. And if a person can't get to there, we try to find free or at least heavily reduced counselling for those people. We also offer legal advice, we have a helpline within 12 hours a day. And we act as a signposting group, if you like, to try and get people through this phase of grief, which it's an absolutely horrific thing to have to go through.
I mean, is there anything at all which can be said to somebody who finds themselves in that position, John?
Not really, other than it's very difficult to say, you'll get through it in time. If it doesn't happen, that grief stays with you for the rest of your life. It's hard to handle that grief. And to recognise the effects of the grief and perhaps take action to try and relieve it in some way.
David Logan killed three people. He was jailed for just shy of 11 years, which is less than 4 years per life. As a former traffic officer, John, what's your reaction to the sentence?
Putting my police hat on for a moment there, that's what we would call the results. The average sentence for a death on the road is about 4 years. I think the judges have taken into account the victim impact statement, which is a good thing. And this man is now where he deserves to be, behind bars.
I mean, as you've mentioned, we've mentioned it already as well. This was this particular defendant's sixth conviction for an alcohol-related driving offence. He was only the drink driver, as you heard. What can be done, John, to stop people that they've had a drink getting behind the wheel in the first place?
There's nothing we can do to physically stop them. It's all about education, and we've pussyfooted around this for a number of years. I mean, the breathalyzer was brought in the 1960s, the drink drive limits were set in the 1960s. It's time for an update. There's different levels in the same country, or the same in the United Kingdom. It's different in Scotland, but it's the way of living. I think it's affair. We'll never have a zero limit that can't be achieved. What we can have is a zero tolerance to drink driving. And the lower that limit, the more people will realise that they can't just get behind the wheel of a car and have a drink. All drivers know that they put the speed limits, they know what the limit is. Nobody knows what the drink driving limit is. Nobody knows how to calculate it. And it's such an imprecise science that it's almost impossible to know when you're over the limit. So the only way to know you're safe is to have no alcohol in the system whatsoever when you're driving.
It's worth just pointing out, and correct me if I'm wrong with this, John, but I think you said that we can't have a zero drink driver limit. That's because, for example, you could be taking cough medicine, which has a slight trace of alcohol in it, for example, and you would unwittingly, if it was zero, put yourself over the drink driver limit and just turn into a cough or something. Is that correct?
That's quite right. The body actually naturally produces an alcohol in some cases, diabetic, for example, or insulin. It creates alcohol in the body, so we couldn't have a zero limit, but we can have a zero tolerance.
John, thank you for being on this morning. Really appreciate your time. John Scrooby from the charity SCARD, Support and Care After Road Death and Injury. And if that interview has raised issues for you, possibly, you can find out more. You can go to the website. It's scard.org.uk. It's scard.org.uk.